Well, Janie Chase is married to a very funny and successful actor and comedian, Chevy Chase, of course, but she is not just a celebrity wife, not by any means. She is a woman of substance, and I am so pleased and excited to have her joining me on the Green Front. I've been watching you, Janie, for years, and saw you in Nashville at one of Al Gore's climate trainings, and you were surrounded by people, so I couldn't say hello. So imagine my excitement when I saw that you are part of this wonderful Women's Environmental Network that I've just joined recently, the Pleiades Network, and I reached out to you, I think, in about 10 seconds and said, wonderful to meet you over email, and please come on the show. So very glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
And taking time out from a conference in New York at the United Nations, is that right?
Yes. A good friend of mine who actually is very close to and ran for, as an interim executive director, the Captain Planet Foundation for Ted Turner. She's a very close friend of his, so she's very connected in here at the UN, and she's been working with very closely with the government of Bhutan on their gross national index of happiness, and this is the first International Day of Happiness, so I was very pleased to come and hear there were panelists speaking, and a few of them in particular focused on how important education is, which has been my focus.
Yes, I should mention that you founded the Center for Environmental Education back in 1988. You've been very active in being a strong leader for getting more environmental curriculum in K through 12 schools in this country. That's so important. And my focus has been on, you know, fellow baby boomers, because I don't think we're getting enough education, certainly not in our mainstream media. You talk about, you know, how we can all make a difference and how you're motivated by your three daughters and love for, you know, not only people we care about, but the places we love. And I do think that's a key to happiness. I think that, you know, there's a lot of problems surrounding all of us, and we're busy, and it's easy to tune things out and kind of go into denial. But I think one of the best-kept secrets is that, at least on the green front, you know, if you're working for change and you're talking about what we're up against, it really is kind of an empowering message, because first of all, it's not ignoring, you know, what's really all around us, and that's just better psychologically for us, but it's also just saying what's so, and then in an instant we can kind of turn it around from being part of the problem to solutions, and there's so many areas where we can make a positive difference.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, one of the things that does trouble me, though, is our schools here in this country. The world looks to the United States and emulates what we do with our music, our films, our culture. You know, the personalities that we emulate, they emulate. And I believe so strongly that our schools are the hearts of our communities. And that has gotten lost in recent years. And that's one of the things I've been focusing on. So going beyond just changing the curricula, but trying to have a cultural shift within our schools, where, you know, it's interesting because just coming from this and being with all these people talking about happiness and the value that's put on an education, whereas here in the U.S., unfortunately, our younger children get very excited about going to school and learning, but somewhere around in middle school and high school, there's a percentage of our kids that get very jaded. Oh, I don't want to go to school. It's a drag, and they don't understand that it's such a privilege. It's such a wonderful gift, education. And so, you know, bringing that back into vogue, and at the same time, the interconnectedness within our schools of how important. I mean, we all need each other. We're all connected to each other. What I do affects you, and what you do affects me. And understanding that and how important it is to care about how we each live our lives, from, you know, what we do when we go into schools, is it's about changing the fabric of who those students are for the rest of their lives. Because once we step off our high school campuses, once we graduate, whether we go on to college, or we go into a vocation, and get married and start raising a family. That is kind of the end of getting those lessons. You know, we no longer have, you know, that the structure is gone. It's out the window. And so it's really, to me, about our high school at the moment. It's getting into our high schools where the kids are, we're losing them. I mean, we have high schools in this country with dropout rates of 60%. Horrible.
And I understand you're on many boards, including, I see here, the Alliance for Climate Protection. I believe that's the group that goes around speaking to high school students about climate change.
Yes, yes. And I actually work with them in, you know, in the schools that I've been in as well. That's the first thing I suggest is invite, you know, have an assembly with ACE, Alliance for Climate Education. For those people who have seen the story of Stuff, they have a presentation that's developed specifically for kids that is very, you know, lively and animated and clear and relevant to high school age human beings. And the presenters are phenomenal. It's a memorized script. So they're basically performance artists, really.
Mm. I actually went to a presentation. They spoke. Someone spoke at my daughter's school just a few months ago, and the guy opened up with the first 10 minutes. He was doing rap songs, and so the kids were enthralled with that. And then he went into, you know, rapping about the climate. So very creative, and I guess each presentation is tailored somewhat to the person, you know, giving the information.
Right. Right. So it's a fabulous organization that is really getting into schools and opening the door or the window to the possibilities and enlightening the kids. What my program, Green Community Schools, is about is a 5-year commitment in schools and cities across the country where we get in and we stay there for 5 years and work closely with the faculty, the administration, the kids, and even the parents as well. And really, each school drives its own agenda. You know, we will give them a menu of options, and then they pull from that menu of options. One of my favorite places to start is with food, because that's a huge, you know, what we eat, where it comes from, has such a huge impact. But also the obvious energy use. You know, we shouldn't leave lights on and, you know, in the room where no one is, and we shouldn't be air conditioning or heating our schools over the weekend. Mm. You know, the kids really get excited about this, and they take ownership of the lessons. So it's very exciting to get in and, you know, just to let them know that there are so many possibilities, as you're saying, to empower everyone instead of feeling overwhelmed and paralyzed by the, you know, how huge this is. If each of us takes a step at a time and we each change our lives, we're going to have a huge impact. And, you know, the other thing about getting into our school, that with each kid, you're also touching an entire family and perhaps even beyond that nuclear family, the neighbors, the grandmothers, the aunts, the cousins, co-workers, their parents, co-workers. The stories I've heard are so, so hopeful and so exciting to me about how kids go home and they just change, you know, they shift everyone in a different direction and they're changed for life.
And I see that your book, Blueprint for a Green School, great title, is going to be re-released this year?
Well, no, not yet. We're working on that. So
okay.
It's still out there. It's a little difficult to find. But honestly, a lot of what I did, and that was published by Scholastic back in 1995, mind you. But a lot of what I did with that book, I'm also on the advisory board at the USGBC, the U.S. Green Building Council. They established, I think, 3 years ago now, the Center for Green Schools. And I've been on that advisory board since the beginning, and Rachel Gutter runs that, and they are phenomenal. They have so many fabulous tools that are right there, free. You can access them online. It's a lot more about the hardware, as in the buildings, the brick and mortar, but not entirely. My focus is a little more on the software, the curricula, excuse me, the systems in the school, like, the, you know, the waste, solid waste system. Where is the school solid waste going? Where is their food waste going? Where is their water waste going? How can they improve on what is happening in all of those areas? And those things, you know, if you just talk about the water table and, you know, we don't think here in the United States about where our water is coming from.
We don't think very far upstream or downstream, or, you know,
exactly,
life cycle of products, that kind of thing. I don't know, Janie, we must have been twins separated at birth. Not only do I think we're the same age, but in reading an article about you from last May in one of the women's magazines, I see that you carry around napkins. I too do napkin interventions, as I call them. When I see, you know, anything that's sitting there unused, I put it in my purse, not because I can't afford my own napkins, but I just hate to see a perfectly good piece of paper, which was, after all, a tree originally, you know, thrown into the garbage unused, or water going down the drain, which is how I started doing my trash talk features 15 years ago in my new marriage. My husband was shaving and brushing his teeth and doing his best, quote, thinking, while the water was going down the sink.
You know, honestly, I know. I love that you just screamed. I'm right there with you, because Chevy, after all these years, if I'm not in the bathroom with him, he will forget. You know, not every time, but you would think. We've been together 33 years.
Oh, my. You've got 15 years ahead of me.
Broken. Oh, my gosh. But I guess, in a way, that's kind of what, you know, that I have to live with this man. I choose to live with this man, who is really much more your sort of mainstream American dude. And, you know, all my lessons and all my this and that and my passion, and he loves me all the more for it. But, you know, it keeps my eyes open how difficult it is to change these habits that we all have.
I don't know where you grew up, but I grew up here on the West Coast in California. My husband grew up in New York, and I went through a few droughts, and maybe that's part of what made me more conscientious. Although, as I often say, it was back in grade school when I'd see other students throwing away their lunches that they hadn't touched, that I had a visceral reaction. It sounds like you've kind of got that same, you know, W chromosome for waste prevention nut, or ecomaniac, as I say. And I grew up and realized that, you know, I was kind of a freak, that other people didn't feel that sensitive. Sensibility.
Yeah.
So it's nice to finally talk to you. Where have you been all my life?
Right.
Really,
well,
I joke how we need to clone this gene of ours and implant it in people.
Definitely. And what you said, I grew up in California and Chevy grew up in Manhattan. And in Manhattan, you're told, he was, you know, and it's still this way, he grew up that this is the best drinking water of any city on the planet. And I think it's still true, and it really is phenomenal. So pour it out, drink it up.
But, it is. We were in restaurants last week in Manhattan visiting, and they kept saying, you know, tap water, or, you know, bubbly, and it's tap water. This is still the best water anywhere. So how do we raise consciousness, Janie, in this country? It still, in 2013, blows my mind that so many, you know, otherwise, you know, concerned citizens who love their kids and spend a lot of money giving them the best, you know, medical attention and education that money can buy, are not tuned into their environment in a way that, you know, it's not going to work if we just have, you know, the eco-activists on the margins. You know, we need to get the mainstream on board. And it is all about, you know, love and protecting what we love and what we know. And I love that you talk about Dr. Richard Louv. I had him on years ago when his book came out, Nature Deficit Disorder. And it's really a clever title for a very serious trend, if you want to jump into that for a minute, which is that,
yeah,
you know,
well,
while you and I grew up probably running around outside, you know, my daughter is on the computer most of the time.
Right, it's true. Well, that's the subtitle. The title is Last Child in the Woods. And Rich Louv, the way that he's a journalist by trade, and the way that he researched and carefully prepared and put together that book is phenomenal, and it's so enlightening. Yes, we need nature. We need nature. We need each other as well. And unfortunately, we do tend to lock ourselves away and get on the computer too much. But that's something, if nothing else, that's one thing that, you know, not if nothing else, would say as a first step. And then there's many more after that. Get outside. Get the other people in your life outside. I know it's difficult, and I live in the Northeast myself. Chevy and I moved to New York in 1995, and it's been a tough winter. But you know what? You get, make sure you've got the gloves and the hat and the coat, and get outside and look up at the sky, and you know, look around and soak it in. You will be healthier. You will have, your brain activity will increase. Everything gets better.
Just, healthier, you know, buildings and healthier products in our homes. I know for a long time you focused on, you know, toxic, quote, you know, cleaning agents,
right,
which are pretty dirty, actually.
They are. I actually saw a video years ago that, I'm not sure what happened to it, but a veterinarian showed it to me, who was working. And sort of, he sees our dogs as sort of the canaries in the coal mine. We see a lot of dogs now are getting cancer at 3, 4, 5 years old. You know, why is that happening? Because we have toxic environments. We're putting chemicals out on our lawns. We're using them in, you know, our kitchens. And I turn on the TV and I see, you know, all of these toxic chemicals being promoted as this, you're going to have a healthier life. You know, but many of the germs they're killing are fine for us. We've been living with them for thousands of years. So it's upsetting to me. But this video I saw was, it showed kids in a school. I think they were sort of like second graders, and they wrote their name on a piece of paper, and they went out and played. Then the cleaning crew came in and cleaned the desk with their, what they do. And they left, and then the kids came back in. The paper was folded over, and they wrote their name again. And when you unfolded the paper, you could see there was a huge difference in the first time they wrote their name and the second time. It was like temporary nerve damage.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you see that, you have to change your life. So for me, it's about, if I know something, I want everybody to know what I know. If I have the privilege of having access to information. You know, for instance, you mentioned Al Gore and being one of his slideshow trainees. You know, I'd have access to him. I have access to that because I'm married to Chevy. I want to share that with everybody. And I think that's your point. That's why you have this show. You want to share what you know with everybody.
Exactly, which is why we tried to get Al Gore to do a green show on the current TV network. But that's another story for another day, probably off air. Still trying. You know, really, to get a mainstream program on these green issues is what's needed. And programmers, as you probably know from your experience in show business, you know, they're not the most visionary types, unfortunately, and tend to be a little bit, you know, unwilling to try something new and different, even if it is something that applies to everybody. Or as I say, target audience, only those who eat, breathe, or drink. Why not?
Right.
Why not? So we just have a couple minutes left, Janie. Tell us about really what you're most passionate about right now. You've been at this so long, and I so commend you for that, because I, too, you know too much to quit, even though sometimes it's been most frustrating on a lot of levels. And I, too, went from garbage to global warming. And really, it's all about our waste. And what I think drives both of us crazy and perhaps a lot of our listeners is the, you know, reckless disregard for resources and the unconscious use of things that, you know, are going to be needed in our children's future and beyond.
Well, you know, I think it's hard to narrow it down. I think that's one reason why I, you know, went toward environmental education and greening schools, because I can still embrace so many of the things that I care about: endangered species, again, the raping of our natural resources, all these things. But what I think I can say, I would like to say to anyone who's listening, that you're listening to this because you must already care. You already have a heightened awareness. It's nice to hear it confirmed and know that there are others that share your interests and your concerns. So everybody who's listening, make sure that you talk about it. Share your passion. Share your knowledge. Don't get upset with people. Be patient. It takes time to change. Talk about what matters to you most. The things that I talk about the most, I talk about food a lot. I talk about our waste stream, and I talk about our energy use, and getting outside. So those are kind of the four.
And I love that you say, if you don't see something, say something. I'm doing that everywhere I go. And sometimes
right.
I get looks, even just coming back from New York. I ask for a cup of tea, and I get two plastic cups, one for the water and one to put the tea bag in. Oh, no, they have the tea in one and then sugar in another plastic cup and then the plastic
right.
stir. And I say, I don't need all that. Take this cup back. And they look at me like I'm the strange one.
Right. Yeah. No, I say something, and then I take my waste with me, explaining, I'm going to take it home because I don't want to leave it here and have it go in the waste stream. I'm going to make sure it gets recycled because I do have a recycling center close
God
to me.
God bless you. And that's why I take my newspapers that I've read home with me from the plane, because I don't think they're going to be cycling. We're going to have you back on again, Janie. So nice to chat with you. We're out of time for this week.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you. We'll talk again soon. And that does it for this edition of The Green Front. Find out more at thegreenfront.com or at prn.fm. See you next week. In the meantime, have a great green one.